قل إنما أنا منذر وما من إله إلا الله الواحد القهار.
Tell them, O Prophet, I am nothing but a warner. There is no deity but Allah, the One, the Supreme. Tell them, from here on, the theme that was broached in the opening part of the surah is resumed. For a better understanding of the part that follows it, is useful to read it in comparison with the opening verses of the surah. O Prophet, I am nothing but a warner. In verse 4, it was stated that the Meccan unbelievers were amazed at the fact that a warner had come to them from among themselves. Here, the Prophet, peace be upon him, is apprising them that he is a clear warner to them. In other words, his vocation was to preach and to admonish, rather than to coerce people to believe. If they refuse to pay heed to him, they will have only themselves to blame. If they persist in heedlessness and error, they themselves will face its dire consequences.
رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما العزيز الغفار.
The Lord of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between them, the Most Mighty, the Most Forgiving.
قل هو نبأ عظيم.
Say, this is a tiding of tremendous import.
أنتم عنه معرضون.
From which you are turning away. From which you are turning away. This is a response to the unbeliever's statement in verse 5 of this surah. Has he made the gods into one single god? This is truly astonishing. The unbelievers took serious exception to the monotheism propounded by the Prophet, peace be upon him. He made it plain to them that he was informing them about something that is utterly true, to wit, monotheism. The unbelievers greeted this with frown and scorn. However, their frown and scorn could not change reality. The unbelievers thought that God was simply one of several gods. Accordingly, they resented the Prophet's insistence on monotheism. It is being asserted that God is the only true God. He is Almighty. He is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of all that exists. On the other hand, none of the unbelievers' idols has any power or authority. These are simply created beings who are under God's control. How can such objects that are utterly powerless and are owned in fact by God be regarded as partners in God's divinity? Also, by what logic can they be considered deities?
مَا كَانَ لِيَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ بِالْمَلَئِ الْأَعْلَىٰ إِذْ يَخْتَصِمُونَ.
Tell them, I had no knowledge of the High Council when they were disputing.
إِن يُوحَى إِلَيَّ إِلَّا أَنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُّبِينٌ.
I am told about matters by means of revelation only, because I am a clear warner.
إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ.
When your Lord said to the angels, Verily, I am creating a human being from clay. When your Lord said to the angels, this indicates some details of the dispute mentioned in verse 69. The dispute consists of Satan's contention against God. Let us also clarify that the verse additionally speaks of the angels insofar as this exchange between God and Satan took place through the agency of some angel. The event discussed here also features at other places in the Quran. See, for example, Al-Baqarah 2, 30-39, Al-Araf 7, 11-24, Al-Hijr 15, 28-43, Bani Israel 17, 61-5, Al-Kahf 18, 47-50, and Taha 20, 115-24. Towards Understanding the Quran, Volume 1, pages 58-66, Volume 2, pages 7-16, Volume 4, pages 288-90, Volume 5, pages 56-60, 112, and 231-40.
Verily,
I am creating a human being from clay.
Lexically, basha denotes a dense body whose exterior is covered by something. It is used specifically for man when reference is made to him after his creation. In this pre-creation context, it means one who will be made of clay and will be devoid of feather and wings. In other words, unlike other creatures, man's skin will not be covered with wool, fur, or feathers.
فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ
After I have created him and breathed into him of my spirit, fall you down, prostrating yourselves to him. After I have created him and breathed into him of my spirit.
For further details, see Al-Hijr 15, note 19, Towards Understanding the Quran, volume 4, pages 289 to 90, and Al-Sajda 32, note 16, volume 8, pages 164 to 5.
Fall you down, prostrating yourselves to him.
For further details, see Al-Baqarah 2, note 45, Towards Understanding the Quran, volume 1, page 62, and Al-Araf 7, note 10, volume 3, pages 7 to 10.
فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ
Then the angels, all of them, prostrated themselves before Adam, peace be upon him.
إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ اسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ
Except Iblis, he waxed proud and became one of the unbelievers. Except Iblis, he waxed proud and became one of the unbelievers.
For further details, see Al-Baqarah 2, note 47, Towards Understanding the Quran, volume 1, page 63. And Al-Kahf 18, note 48, volume 5, page 112.
قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسُ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ أَسْتَكْبَرْتَ أَمْ كُنْتَ مِنَ الْعَالِينَ
The Lord said, O Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating yourself before him whom I created of my two hands? Are you waxing proud, or fancy yourself to be too exalted? The Lord said, O Iblis, what prevented you from prostrating yourself before him whom I created of my two hands?
This brings out man's exalted status. That the Lord himself accomplished man's creation signifies the major importance of the task. Had the task been of an ordinary nature, the sovereign would have assigned it to his servants. On the contrary, when the sovereign carries out a task himself, it shows that the task is of extraordinary importance. Now, since God himself created man, nothing should deter man from submitting to him. As to the expression, my two hands, this probably underscores two important aspects of God's creative power. One, that man was endowed with a body that links him to animals. And two, that the spirit was breathed into him, making him superior to all creatures on earth.
قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ
He replied, I am nobler than he. You created me from fire and created him from clay.
قَالَ فَاخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ
He said, get out of here. Surely you are accursed. He said, get out of here.
The reference is to Adam's creation and the directive to the angels to prostrate themselves before him. Satan, however, disobeyed God.
Surely you are accursed.
Rajim denotes the one who is accursed or expelled. It is used for a person who falls from favor and stands humiliated and disgraced. Almost the same point is made in Surah Al-Araf 7:13. In which Satan is spoken of as follows, Be gone, you will be among the humiliated.
وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَتِي إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ
And my curse shall remain upon you till the day of resurrection. And my curse shall remain upon you till the day of resurrection.
This does not mean that Satan will not be cursed after the day of resurrection. What is rather stressed is that he will be cursed till the day of judgment. At a later stage, he will face the punishment for the misdeeds he had committed since Adam's creation till the last day.
قال رب فأنظرني إلى يوم يبعثون.
Satan said, My Lord, then grant me respite till the day that they are raised up.
قال فإنك من المنظرين.
He said, You are of those who have been granted respite.
إلى يوم الوقت المعلوم.
Till the day whose hour I know.
قال فبعزتك لأغوينهم أجمعين.
Iblis said, By your glory I shall mislead them all.
إلا عبادك منهم المخلصين.
Except those of your servants, the chosen ones from amongst them. Except those of your servants, the chosen ones from amongst them.
The point being made is not that Satan will not try to mislead the chosen ones. The purpose of the statement is to stress that Satan will not be able to mislead them.
He, i.e. Allah, said, This is the truth, and I only speak the truth.
لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنْكَ وَمِمَّنْ تَبِعَكَ مِنْهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ
I will certainly fill the Gehenna with you and with all those among them who follow you. I will certainly fill the Gehenna.
The address is directed to all devils, i.e. Satan, as well as his accomplices who are engaged in misleading mankind.
With you, and with all those among them who follow you.
This story is narrated in response to the Quraysh chief's sarcastic query, Has this exhortation been sent down among us only to him, to the exclusion of all others? This was partly addressed in verses 9 to 10 above. Do they possess the treasures of your Lord, the Most Mighty, the Great Bestower? Or do they possess the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and all that is in between them? If so, let them ascend to the heights of the realm of causation and see. In other words, they were told that they had no right to question who should be designated a prophet and who should not. The second response is articulated here. The Quraysh notables are being told that their jealousy towards the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and their self-conceit and arrogance resemble Iblis's jealousy and arrogance. Iblis had refused to recognize God's right to appoint Adam as his vicegerent, peace be upon him. Following in his footsteps, the unbelieving Quraysh denied God his right to appoint anyone whom he pleases as his messenger. Iblis had declined to prostrate himself before Adam, peace be upon him, and the Quraysh are guilty of refusing to obey the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The resemblance of the Quraysh with Iblis does not end with being alike in iniquity. In fact, their ultimate end will also be the same. Like Iblis, they will remain accursed in this life and face hellfire in the next.
قُلْ مَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ
O Prophet, tell them, I do not ask you for any recompense for the performance of this task, nor am I given to affection. O Prophet, tell them, I do not ask you for any recompense for the performance of this task.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, points out that he is a selfless person who has no axe to grind by preaching the truth.
Nor am I given to affection.
The Prophet, peace be upon him, is not one of those who make false claims in order to achieve eminence and glory. This was not merely a verbal assertion, but the Prophet's entire life bore testimony to its truth. He had lived for full 40 years in the midst of his people, and every Meccan knew that he was not a fake. The entire body of Meccans was aware that the Prophet, peace be upon him, had never uttered as much as a word that would give rise to the suspicion that he was hankering after power and glory.
إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ
This is nothing but an admonition for all people the world over.
وَلَتَعْلَمُنَّ نَبَأَهُ بَعْدَ حِينٍ
You will know the truth of the matter after a while. You will know the truth of the matter after a while.
What this meant is that those who will remain alive will see in a few years that what the Prophet, peace be upon him, said will come to pass. As for those who die, no sooner than they enter the portal of death, they too will realize that what the Prophet, peace be upon him, had said was true.